30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Happy Thursday, everyone. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. For more information, it's simple. Go to their website, gogginkold.com. Coming up a little bit later this hour, you know, all the Braves chat, Josh Donaldson, Cole Hamels earlier this week. What else is in store in the offseason for the Braves? You know, I thought, who better to reach out to than our good buddy Kevin McAlpin with the Braves Radio Network, since we are your Nashville, Middle Tennessee home for the Atlanta Braves. So Kevin McAlpin will be a part of the show around 4:35. Just after 5, you know, it's awards night as far as college football, everything except for the Heisman Trophy. And David Basil joins us from the red carpet tonight. They've already announced the winner of this year's Frank Broyles Award, which goes to the top assistant. And you didn't even have to tell me who in the finalist or who it was, because I could just tell you.
Yeah.
Joe Brady, simple as that. So he gets it. And usually over the years, the recipient of this has gone on to earn millions upon millions of dollars because they've gone on to nice careers in the collegiate world as far as head coaches. So we'll get into that conversation with David Basil. Also talk about Arkansas football moving forward as well, and more. At 5:35, Will West joins us from Knoxville. He's a co-host on Knoxville's sports radio, WNML. And then the bonus hour, third hour, 6:05, Doug Segrist joins us, talk show host as far as TV-wise, on the TV show The Zone on ABC 3340, talking SEC. And then at 6:35, Barry Wilner had been under the weather. He joins us from New York, the pro football writer with the Associated Press in New York. So a jam-packed show. If you'd like to be part of the show, 615-844-5600. Hey, by the way, a week from tomorrow, guess what that means? A week from tomorrow. Think about it. Bowl season starts. We get the two matchups. What a way to spend... You know, before Christmas, you go to the Bahamas, because that's what Buffalo and Charlotte, that's what they'll be doing.
Must be nice.
On Friday the 20th. And then you get a matchup of Mountain West versus a MAC squad in Utah State versus Kent State. You know, remember every year, you know, we always talk about, is there going to be enough teams bowl eligible to fill all these slots, right? 39 bowl games had to be filled. That means 78 teams. Well, here's the thing. We had 80 teams actually get the necessary wins for bowl games. Missouri, not eligible. They're facing the postseason ban. So does anybody know which team got left out this year? 6-6? Anyone? Toledo. That's right, Toledo. Oh. The only team that had the necessary wins to be in a bowl game, the only team that got left out this year.
Wonder why that was. I mean, just strength of scheduling or...
Just spots. I mean, the MAC had 7 teams that were bowl eligible and not enough spots to go around. I was looking at all the matchups, and for the most part, you know, I'm happy with the pairings. I think, okay, good. You know, Power 5 versus Power 5. I like Memphis representing the Group of 5 going up in a chance like a David versus Goliath, the opportunity to bag a big one. So I like that, the matchup. But you know the matchup I'm kind of not happy about?
What's that?
Appalachian State conference. So here they are, the premier team in the Sun Belt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And historic season for a Sun Belt team to get this kind of love, this kind of recognition, as far as the top 25 was concerned with regards to the College Football Playoff Committee, finished 20th, and they take on the team that lost in the Conference USA title game. They'll be playing UAB.
Wow.
I just, you know, to me, I just wish that in this particular case, Appalachian State would have had a chance to take on a, I mean, because look at their record. I mean, Appalachian State was 12-1. Mm-hmm. And they actually, you know, top to bottom, pretty really nice resume for them. And so, yeah, that's the disappointment that I see as far as when I look at these 39 games. I would love to have seen an Appalachian State with a chance to, you know, bag a big one. But the problem you have, and you know, certainly you'll wonder if Penn State, how motivated they're going to be. And we talk about this all the time. I remember when Florida State took on Houston. Wasn't sexy. This was, you know, after the fact that they, you know, win the national championship in 2013. They're one of the semifinal teams in 2014. And then the very next year, they play Houston.
Right.
It just wasn't sexy, and Florida State played like it wasn't sexy. And so that's the kind of thing when you see a Penn State versus Memphis. Memphis obviously will be motivated.
Well,
we saw Central Florida two seasons ago. Remember when they beat Auburn over in Atlanta? And then LSU remembered that, and LSU last year took care of business, although that game was a tight contest, if you recall. When I'm looking at these, I can understand that if you're a Power 5 team and not where you want to be, you wouldn't want to take on Appalachian State because you have nothing to win in that situation. And that's one I was saying from a Bama fan's perspective for the first year not being – here we are 6 years in as far as the college football playoff in the first year that Alabama is not a part of it. The last thing that you would want, because we've seen this show before, you know, back in 2008, Alabama, you know, what, 10 minutes away from playing for the national championship, Tim Tebow and the Gators come from behind to win, and then Alabama plays in the Sugar Bowl. They suspend and do not allow their offensive tackle Andre Smith to play because they don't know whether or not it was indeed true or not true. Did he sign with an agent already prior to the game? So they just said, forget it, we're not dressing you. And they didn't show up. They were down 17-0, end up getting beat 31-17. The same thing. But the other part of that, remember 2013, back-to-back years of winning national championships and Alabama with the kick six. So in just one blink of the eye, they put a second back on the clock. They kicked the 57-yarder or whatever it was. It comes up short and gets returned for a touchdown. So they go in 1 second. First of all, it looks like overtime. Then a second on, a field goal chance to win it, and it gets returned. And so, bam, just like that, there goes a chance to make it a three-peat. And they took on a good team. Remember, they played – this is when Trevor Knight was still with Oklahoma. So they play Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl. And they don't really show up in that game. So at least with Alabama playing Michigan, knowing the storylines there with Jim Harbaugh, all the goofiness from Jim Harbaugh over the last 3 years or so with his mouth, I think there's motivation there, and you can get your team motivated. But if it was, if it wasn't a sexy pick, if it wasn't a top brand team per se. Like, I don't know, honestly, from an Alabama perspective, how motivated they would be if they were playing Minnesota, for example. Not to take anything away from Minnesota, because Minnesota had a really solid year this year, you know, out of the Big Ten, you know, and look how close they came to having a chance to play for the Big Ten title this year. But still, you know, they're 10-2, and Auburn has to play them. So, and yeah, I was just looking at some of these pairings and looking at how many – you know, what's the most we get from one conference taking on another conference. One of the things I've noticed is really spread out, a lot of diversity. You know, there's 10 conferences, and we see a lot of different matchups, especially the teams that are the conferences that send a lot of teams to the bowl season. Like the ACC has 10, but the most that I've seen as far as in one conference taking on another conference, the magic number for most is 3. SEC versus the ACC, you get 3 there. You get 3 Big Ten versus Pac-12 matchups. You also get 3 Mountain West versus Mid-American Conference matchups as well. And then you get 3 SEC versus Big Ten. But for the most part, you have a lot of single digits. I mean, here's a list that I put together. You see a lot of – there's a long list there because there's a lot of just one matchups as far as one conference versus another. Whether it's, you know, Conference USA versus the American Athletic. Hey, by the way, you notice the trend now, they don't even want to say American Athletic anymore. They just want to say American Conference.
I have noticed that, yeah.
And, I mean, it is still American Athletic Conference.
Yeah.
But it's like, ah, forget that. That's just too much. We'll just say American.
It, yeah. Short or sweet. But
like whatever.
Well, it's probably not going to be around much longer anyway.
All right, week 15. Boy, I'm all over the game tonight with the Jets plus the 15. You know, with Sam Darnold, they play a lot differently. I mean, look, this team has won four games, the Jets, out of their last five. Remember, they beat, you know, what did everybody's bragging about the Titans' 21-point win over Oakland, right? Jets beat Oakland by 31. That's right.
40-9.
The New York Jets, it was 34-3, actually. But the Jets are so much better with Sam Darnold there. Now, is he, I still don't know exactly if he is, quote-unquote, the franchise quarterback. That they're playing like he is, and so we'll see. But I go back to if he had not had mono, and if the Jets had had a kicker this year, I mean, that Buffalo game was a one-point loss. And look, here's a Buffalo Bills team that will be a playoff team. And the Jets lose the first game by one, and they miss, what, extra points, a couple of chip shot field goals. Everything could possibly go wrong went wrong with the special teams. And then your franchise QB gets mono.
Yeah.
I mean, how would that, you know, watching, here's a good example, watching Ryan Tannehill, the way he plays, then what do we say that, oh, by the way, he's going to miss the next four games because of mono? I mean, that's what we're kind of talking about. But it happened right there at the beginning, and it's tough to, you know, come back. But with that said, I mean, the Jets have slowly become a 5-8 team. You think about those missed opportunities during the mono era.
Mono era.
The mono issues and the era during with Sam Darnold out. And then now we got Flugate with Le'Veon Bell. He wasn't well enough to play in the game because of the flu, but he was well enough to go out bowling with the family.
Hey, steroids can do that to you.
I mean, that's – last time I had the flu, I've had the flu once in the last 12 years. Last time I had the flu, only thing I wanted to do was lay on the bed and drink plenty of orange juice. Bowling was the last thing. Going out was the last thing that I wanted to do.
I didn't even want to see the light outside because my head hurts so bad.
All right, if you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. Civil War coming up on Saturday, Army versus Navy. This year, it looks like this should be Navy's year. They should be able to win big. Army, unfortunately, had a down campaign. And although they had some, you know, like we go back to last year where Oklahoma has to take Army to overtime. We saw that earlier this year with Army against Michigan. You better not sleepwalk on Army, even if you're Navy, in the sense that, I mean, Army had every opportunity in the second half against Michigan on the road at Michigan to win that game. And we saw what Michigan was able to do this year. Remember, Michigan 9-3. Now, other than Ohio State, you know, for the most part, they showed up this year. For the whatever reason, for almost two decades, and now they don't show up when they take on Ohio State.
Yeah,
15 losses in 16 games against Ohio State.
My goodness. But, yeah, I mean, you talk about Army and Navy. I mean, if I'm correct, I think Navy has had more success in the last 20-plus years, have they not?
Well, recent years. And one of the, by the way, Steve Eubanks, who wrote a book, you know, he's got 30-plus to his credit. The last two books that Arnold Palmer had anything to do with before he passed away, Steve Eubanks wrote those two books. But he also has one out there, you know, called All American. And he basically chronicled a player from Army, one from Navy, because, you know, in the world today, after your last football game, you have the chance to earn big-time bucks the next level in the NFL, where these individuals, after their final college games, you know, they're serving our country,
yeah,
you know, protecting us and protecting the freedoms that we get to enjoy. So I thought it would be really important to bring Steve Eubanks, best-selling author and veteran sports columnist, to the show. He'll be coming on the show tomorrow at 6:05, so you don't want to miss that. A little bit later, once again, we'll talk a little baseball, big-time contracts. $324 million popped out yesterday for Gerrit Cole. Braves, Josh Donaldson, are they still in the running? Kevin McAlpin with the Braves Radio Network around 4:35. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It's heavy here on the South Loop as we look at it live here on 40 East, trying to get past the Mumbrium Broadway. We got a crash being cleared. Harding Place at Citgo Drive. It did have some injuries. It's really picked up now on 65, that drive up through Madison as you make your way past OHB up to Vietnam Vets. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out for dinner tonight, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Penn Station likes to mix it up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads, fresh cut fries, chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Visit Penn Station East Coast Subs in Hermitage and the two locations in Murfreesboro, Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway. This month, try the delicious chicken parmesan sub with fresh cut fries and drink at a special price. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. And right now, get your first online visit totally free when you go to 4hims.com/joy. Sure beats paying for an in-office doctor's appointment, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need to deal with awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe the medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/joy. That's 4hims.com/joy for your free online visit. FORHIMS.com/joy.
In a world of corporate giants, it's nice to know there's a locally owned full-service pharmacy here to take care of you and your entire family. Harding Pharmacy is dedicated to meeting their customers' needs with the highest level of service. Have your prescriptions transferred or your next one filled at Harding Pharmacy, where they also offer free delivery. Harding Pharmacy, your fast and friendly family pharmacy, is easy to find at 4120 Nolensville Pike, just south of Harding Place, next to the post office.
The George Plaster Show.
It's great. You finally landed in a place where you're going to thrive with the greatest people on sports radio, pretty much.
Weekdays starting at 2.
It's sports talk the way it should be.
The George Plaster Show.
Man, it's great to have you back, my friend.
The George Plaster Show.
This isn't going to be that much better now with George on afternoons, man. I can't wait, man.
George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio. Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now, 615-844-5600.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Geigen Coal Hall Studios. I'd like to invite you to check out our friends with Penn Station East Coast Subs, located in Hermitage. Also, the two locations in Murfreesboro, Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway. All this month, try the delicious chicken parmesan sub with fresh-cut fries and drinks, all at a special price. Penn Station, it's all about good taste. All right, so checking the latest, the Jets now a 17-point underdog to the Baltimore Ravens. I'm taking the 17, by the way. You know, and I'll probably be, you know, upset that I've done that, but
probably.
Yeah, I'm going to take 17, and then plus I'm going to take the you know, when we look at the over under line right now, it's 44.5, and I was saying over 45, so I'm definitely taking the over 44.5. So, and I was, you know, on Monday with Monday Night Football, I was right on both parts of that, you know, from that standpoint. So had the Giants plus the 9.5, felt good there, and I had the under. So we'll see if that trend continues. I need to finish strong, however. I've never had a losing season. So far this year, I have picked right at 702 games on the year. 702 games, and I'm 7 games above 500. So, but I'm picking all the bowl games the rest of the NFL season. So that's still not enough room for air. I've got to keep on adding to it, and hopefully that will continue starting tonight as I take the Jets plus the 17 and the over 44.5.
Yeah, I mean, you've already came out of a 20 loss hole.
Yeah, I was down by 20. Yeah. I was 20 under 500. So I
just around Halloween.
So since the end of October, I've made up. I'm now what, plus 27.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. So this hopefully that trend will continue going into tonight. This Tennessee Houston game on Sunday though is kind of tough for me.
Figure out who to go with.
Yeah, I mean, here's Tennessee favored by 3, and I understand that they have the whole football universe, you know, right there by by the grips of their hand. Everybody's all buying in, and I look and break down these games. So many of these games we're talking about could have ended up the other way, and the fact if Houston had won last week, I would actually have felt a lot better in going with Tennessee given the points. But, you know, here's a Houston team. You know, they're 8-5 just like the Titans. They're technically in first place because they have a better division record, better conference record as well. And so because of that and the way they got blasted last week by Denver, I mean, they fell behind early by a lot of points.
31-3.
They didn't give up, though. And remember, the final score, they only lost by 14, is a team that they don't have quit in them. So all this is like, they're just – they're not in a good place right now. I understand where they're going. They're still 8-5, 3-1 the division, 7-3 against AFC opponents. So with that said, you know, at this point, I'll make the final picks tomorrow, but at this point, I'm kind of leaning towards Houston in this one.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't necessarily mean that they don't. Look, they could lose close.
Right.
And that would still be good as far as that's concerned. But the 3 points. I'm expecting a close game, although there's a lot. I mean, fans of Houston don't think Houston has a chance at all against this Tennessee team.
And it's crazy to think that the Tennessee fans think that Tennessee's going to come out and just whoop them after what Denver did.
And by the way, I didn't check this until just as we brought this up. I'm checking to see right now what the country is thinking from the West Coast to the East Coast as far as where they're putting their money. What do you think the percentage is of the fans with Tennessee -3 and Houston +3?
65% Tennessee.
Nope. 57% is kind of feeling like I am, taking Houston +3. So, and I think, like I said, and I guarantee you a lot of that has to do with the fact that they don't feel like Houston is going to lay eggs back-to-back weeks.
No. And I think a lot of people around the country also has that same thing that they're like, oh, Tennessee's been here before. What have they done?
And by the way, the general public did a really nice job last week, you know, because I checked to see how wrong they were, how good they were, vice versa, as far as if they were on the right side. And the general public hit like a 75% clip last week in the NFL games. So give you an example, just like right now, I hope that continues because they're kind of feeling like I am, 61% taking the Jets and the +17 tonight.
Wow. So,
but there's some bigger ones there, and I'm on the opposite side of this one. When it gets into the 80 plus, those are the kind of games I think go the other way.
Always.
And the reason I bring it up, like Detroit is hosting Tampa Bay. Now, Jameis Winston will score points for the Bucs. He'll also probably score points for Detroit. but remember, you know, they were able to beat Indianapolis by 3 on Sunday. Well, 84%. Here's Detroit hosting the Bucks on Sunday. 84% taking Detroit +3.5 in that one. 84. So when you get those kind of numbers, it makes you want to like, okay, run, go the other way. A good example, New England. They're a 10-point favorite on the road against Cincinnati. 85% of the country taking the Patriots.
I'm shocked it's not 99%.
And here's the thing, it's really bad when you get a team like that because I think, you know, your better teams like Alabama, Clemson, you have a lot of teams that folks are still living off, instead of paying attention to any particular year, they're still living off, you know, past years per se. Oh, it's still Tom Brady and it's still New England. Well, it's a different team. Yeah, they're 10-3. Two of their 3 losses, by the way, on the road. And I understand it's Cincinnati. I understand they're 1-12. But 10 points is a lot, especially if you're the home team and you're getting 10 points in that situation. But, you know, that's not even the biggest spread. And this is actually one of the ones I kind of like, and I might have to rethink it before tomorrow. Seattle, a 6.5-point favorite on the road against Carolina. What do you think the public is saying about this one? 94%. 94
for Seattle.
94% taking Seattle, giving the 6.5. And then the other one, which I think is a trap, Denver, Drew Locke, love what they've done the last 2 weeks, right? Kansas City is hosting Denver. Kansas City is giving Denver 9.5. But because of what Denver did last week going into Houston, they feel like, oh, they're going to do it again. 82% taking Denver plus the 9.5 against KC on Sunday.
Is it mainly because of Patrick Mahomes' hand?
Well, that could be a part of it, too. I mean, and then you think about Denver plays a lot of close games. And I think that's the other part. 9.5 is a lot. We know Kansas City has issues as far as with their defense. And so maybe that – so if there's – if when I look at these bigger games, the you know, I'm probably leaning towards more – I like Seattle, so I'm in that probably 94%, which might be a mistake. But I'm kind of like leaning towards Denver, especially if that number goes to 10 tomorrow – before I make my final selection, kind of leaning towards Denver plus the points on the road against Kansas City because, you know, Drew Locke, weather-wise, he played football at Missouri. He's used to playing football.
Well, just right down I-55.
Yeah, so it's not like this is like – he wasn't like in the southern part of Florida or something like that where he played his college ball. No. So, you know, he's kind of accustomed to that or grown accustomed to that. I like this one a lot, too. Oakland at home, 6.5-point favorites against Jacksonville. You know, to me at this point, although Gardner Minshew probably still has something to prove, but in so many ways it looks like this Jacksonville team has checked out. And Oakland, to me, I like the way they just keep fighting.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have the most talent. They got, I mean, think about this team if they had Khalil Mack still, for example.
Oh,
but here's Oakland, a 6.5-point favorite at home. And remember, too, final game ever in that building.
And you know they're going to be playing hard for that no matter what.
83% taking Oakland, giving Jacksonville the 6.5. And I'm kind of leaning towards that same direction there. I think that'd be too tough for a Raiders team to lose a game like that in that situation. You don't want to go out that way.
No.
And then finally, big number game, one of the late afternoon games on Sunday. You've got the 49ers hosting Atlanta. Atlanta has to go from the East Coast to the West Coast. San Francisco, a 10.5-point favorite against Atlanta. Remember, no Calvin Ridley.
Right.
59%, though, in the country taking Atlanta plus the 10.5. I'm thinking we're going to get the bad version of Atlanta that we saw, you know, midway through the season.
Right.
Instead of the good version of Atlanta.
The one that beat New Orleans in the Superdome?
Yeah. I think we're going to get more of the bad version, and so I'm leaning towards San Francisco because, once again, they know what's at stake as far as what they did against New Orleans. I know it's an emotional win going on the road, but then they're back home, and they can't allow what they accomplished last week to go throw it away by laying an egg against Atlanta, you know, coming up on Sunday. And then one more huge one, and this surprises me because of the point spread. Point spread in this game, 1.5, the Rams at Dallas. 1.5, the Rams on the road, favored by 1.5. So it's basically almost a pick 'em game, right?
Right.
92% is on one side.
L.A.
92% taking the Rams, given the 1.5.
In Big D.
And
wow.
I'm kind of like that too, actually.
Well, I mean, that's probably the overall better one, yeah.
Well, the Rams are playing well. Rams are certainly very much in the thick. They have to keep winning to, you know, to find themselves in as far as a wild card because they've got some room to make up there because at this point they're on the outside looking in behind Seattle and Minnesota, whereas Dallas, they're a game under 500, and what does that do for them? They're tied.
First place.
They're tied first place with the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, coming up, a chance to talk some Braves baseball. It's always fun, and we can pretend that it's nice and hot and sunny out. Kev McAlpin with the Braves Radio Network. We'll talk about off-season moves and more. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It's quite heavy out here on the South Loop. The West Loop, we're looking at heavy traffic here on 40 East, approaching 840, headed back towards Lebanon, there through that part of Wilson County. It's a crash at Crossings Boulevard in Hickory Hollow Parkway that's tying up that intersection. Heavy traffic making its way up through Madison right now on 65 going north at OHB. Princess Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
Hey, what you reading?
It's called The Ledger. There's a great column on the Titans.
So it's a sports publication?
No, not just sports. Like, see here, there's a great cover story on why Middle Tennessee's real estate market is so hot. The Ledger has stories written by some of Nashville's best, most experienced journalists. And you can get all the information on the Mid-State's fast-growing restaurant scene. There's profiles of community leaders and data that helps generate leads for my business.
And sports?
Yes, including UT coverage from Knoxville.
Expensive?
Is free expensive?
Free, huh?
Yeah, grab you one at hundreds of locations and tnledger.com. It's The Ledger. Pick one up today.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Could you use a little extra money for the holidays? Jackson Hewitt is ready to help, whether you have unexpected expenses or last-minute gifts to buy. Starting December 18th, come in and ask a Jackson Hewitt Tax Pro how you could get up to $500 fast with an early refund advance 0% APR loan by MetaBank. All you need to get started is a pay stub or other proof of income. Find out how we can help you get money on a prepaid card fast before the holidays. Go to JacksonHewitt.com to learn more. That's JacksonHewitt.com. Terms apply.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cohall Studios. This segment brought to you by friends with Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, located right there at 7110 Town Center Way in Brentwood, just east of Franklin Road and the roundabout by the Brentwood Post Office. Good, better Brinkman's. A lot of things going on as far as Major League Baseball, also with the Atlanta Braves as well. So I thought it'd be a great idea to reach out to our good buddy Kevin McAlpin with the Braves Radio Network. First of all, Merry Christmas to you and your family, Kevin, and thank you for taking time out with us.
Of course, Johnny. Same to you.
Yeah, I don't know about you. When I see teams, like especially teams inside the division with the Braves, I love it when I see huge contracts, like, you know, whether it's like with Bryce Harper. So when we get $300-plus million and the Braves aren't spending it and somebody else is, that's less money to go around for them to fill other holes and other needs that they may have. Your thoughts about what transpired this week with Gerrit Cole and now a new $324 million contract over 9 years?
Yeah, you know what? I just love the fact that there's activity this offseason. You know, the last couple of years, free agency has really dragged on and on. The winter meetings came and went, and nothing really happened. I love the fact that teams are spending money, and obviously one in the Braves division with the Nationals, bringing Steven Strasburg back to a huge extension to keep him in Washington. But the good news is they weren't able to keep Anthony Rendon. So I know Braves fans will be happy to know that they won't have to deal with Rendon as you go forward here. Obviously, Gerrit Cole was a guy that the Yankees had circled. They've had their eyes on him for years. And I think that they felt like, you know, this was clearly the guy they wanted. And it's pretty obvious when the Yankees want somebody, they're going to go out and get him. And they said it's exactly what they did. So again, I'm just glad that teams are out there. They're spending money. They're making moves because, you know, the last couple of years, the Players Association hasn't been happy. And the good news is we probably won't have to read any of their press releases here, at least for the foreseeable future, complaining about, collusion and things of that nature.
All right. Before you tell me which one that you feel is the most likely scenario for the Atlanta Braves, what do you feel like the percentage is that the Braves will either re-sign Josh Donaldson or work out a trade to get Chris Bryant from the Cubs?
I feel like a trade's probably more realistic. You know, the sense I'm getting.
But do you feel like percentage-wise for both to happen? What do you feel like the percentage is? At least one of those two things will happen.
I would say probably I'll go 65%. Okay. If they're able to pull off a trade for Chris Bryant. And the reason I say that is because we really don't know what his service time status is to this point. Once that grievance gets situated, we'll have a better idea if he has 1 year or 2 years of control left. So that'll probably be better from there. As far as Josh Donaldson is concerned, look, I know there's interest on both sides. The Braves want him back. He liked being here. But, you know, there's a lot of teams that want him. And it does get to, I do get the sense that, you know, a fourth year is probably going to be what it takes to get Josh Donaldson back. Now, look, I made the argument on our website, on my weekly blog, that if I'm the Braves, I feel like the risk is worth it in the end. If you have to overpay for Josh Donaldson, let's say you get three really good years out of him, and the fourth year is, you know, so-so. Well, my question would be, have you won a World Series in those 3 years?
Good
if
point.
The answer is yes. If you feel like you can win a World Series, I don't think anybody in Braves country would be upset that they're overpaying Josh Donaldson in his age 37 season, because they've got the trophy, they've got a ring. So for me, I just, if they could find a way to just, you know, say, look, maybe we are going to have to overpay. But you know what? He was such an important piece of this team in the lineup every day, in that clubhouse. I mean, I saw it on a daily basis. What he meant to this team off the field, probably even more important than what the fans saw him bring on the field.
Well, the other part, too, I mean, you can protect yourself, too, from an injury if that does indeed occur. So you can protect yourself from that standpoint. And if this does transpire, what does this mean, Austin Riley? What does it mean for Austin Riley and how the Braves would see him fitting into this lineup?
Well, you know, for Riley, at least they know he can play the outfield now. And look, he's not pretty out there, but he certainly wasn't a butcher by any sense of the term as far as an outfielder goes. But I think the fact that you know he can play the outfield, maybe that does change your thoughts as far as what his long-term future is. I think ultimately he's a third baseman, but, you know, hey, look, as his career goes on, maybe he becomes, you know, a guy that you can put at the corner infield and corner outfield spots. So, I think that right now the Braves would ultimately like him to start at AAA this season. Now, that's going to be dependent on what kind of moves they're able to pull off between now and the start of the regular season. But, you know, just he came on with such a tear. And obviously we all knew he couldn't keep that pace up. But I think that, you know, Alex has sort of said a couple of times a little bit more seasoning probably wouldn't hurt him at the AAA level. So I think they would like, ideally, for Austin to start at AAA, work on breaking balls, work on sliders down and away, because that's really where he was getting beat the final couple of months of the season. Just couldn't tell the difference between a fastball and a breaking ball, and teams really exploited that very quickly.
You know, it's interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, if you're the Cubs, are you playing the wait-and-see game? Let Josh Donaldson decide where he's going to play, because at that point, teams get desperate, and that means that raises the value, of a Chris Bryant if you definitely want to trade for him. If we're looking at that scenario where no Josh Donaldson, the Braves then looking to make a trade, what will they have to give up?
Well, you know, the sense that I get as far as, you know, what a Bryant deal would cost you is probably at least one arm. And I'm talking about, you know, a pretty highly regarded arm. Now, that could be, you know, an Ian Anderson. That could be, you know, a Bryce Wilson. I know there's a lot of scouts that are really high on Bryce Wilson. I heard that a number of times last year during the season. A handful of scouts asked me about this kid quite a bit. I think Austin Riley would probably have to be a part of that. And, you know, look, I think if you're the Cubs, you're probably looking for an outfielder as well. Oh, by the way, you've got a three-time Gold Glover in Ender and Ciarte that could also be packaged as part of a deal. So it's probably a three-for-one. But, you know, again, would the Braves have to, you know, fork over probably a little bit more than they'd want? Probably. But, hey, if you have Chris Bryant in the middle of your order, do you think you have a chance to win a World Series in the next 2 years? I would argue you would. So I think probably 3-for-1 was what it would take.
And, you know, if you look at that pool of pitchers, in which I really would believe that one of them would have to be a pitcher. You mentioned Ian Anderson. There's Kyle Wright. Could be even a Mike Fultonevich and Max Fried also in that scenario.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, look, I would say this. Anybody not named Freddie Freeman and Ronald Acuna Jr. is probably in play. Now, look, they're not going to part with Ozzie Albies. Let's not get crazy about any of these other guys. But, you know, I think that, you know, Freeman and Acuna are as close to, you know, as completely untouchable as you're ever going to get. And look, I don't think the Braves have any interest in even entertaining conversations with those guys. But, you know, I think anybody else would be in play. I've heard Dansby Swanson's name mentioned this offseason. I've heard all those pitchers you just mentioned as, you know, trade possibilities. I think this is the year where, you know, look, they've held on to these prospects for the last few offseasons. They haven't made any moves with them. But at some point, you know, you have two outfielders in Drew Waters and Christian Pache. They could be ready for the big leagues at some point in the second half of 2020. You're not going to have room for all of them. You're certainly not going to have room for all of your pitchers. So, you know, what you saw last year when the Braves traded Colby Allard and Joey Wentz at the trade deadline, they said, look, these guys, you know, we don't feel like they're part of our long-term plans. You know, there's other guys we like a lot more than them. So, you know, I just kind of think that this is maybe the offseason you use that prospect capital and go out and pull off a big blockbuster deal.
Kevin McAlpin with the Braves Radio Network joining us again. All right, let me throw out the two words and get your thoughts. Cole Hamels, your thoughts now that he's a member of the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, I like it. I like the move. Look, it's there's a lot to like about this deal. Now, yeah, it's $18 million. So some fans are going, wait a minute, it's $18 million. But look, it's a one-year deal, so you're not blocking any of your top pitching prospects. It's a great guy to have in the clubhouse. I covered Cole in Philly in 2010 and 2011. Of course, he was a big part of what the Phillies did on that run from 07 through 2011, getting to back-to-back World Series. He was the World Series MVP. His numbers that year were insane in the postseason. So he's been a big-game pitcher. Now, look, is he the same Cole Hamels he was 10 years ago? Of course not. But I think that you look at where he was last season prior to the oblique injury, he was throwing the ball really well. Good leader off the field, a great asset for a Max Fried and a Mike Soroka and others to learn from in the clubhouse. And look, again, it's a one-year deal, which you can attach a qualifying offer to at the end of the year. So you could potentially bring him back if you like what he had for a second year, or if he walks, you get a draft pick in compensation when he signs elsewhere. So there's really a lot to like about it. And look, the big thing for me is he's an innings eater. He's going to go out there. He's going to make his starts. And that's really important right now because you remember that guy was Julio Teheran. He went to the post every 5 days. He made a 33 to 34 starts. He got you 180, 190 innings every year. You can pencil him in. You need somebody to fill up those innings. And I think Cole Hamels is the perfect guy to do it.
Hey, by the way, for those that are wondering, why not Charlie Culberson for the Braves' plans in 2020? What would you have to say to that?
Well, I think the writing was on the wall, Johnny, last year when you look at when Dansby Swanson was hurt in August. And, you know, they didn't give Charlie the playing time. You know, they went and they signed Adeni Echevarria and gave him the bulk of the playing time at shortstop. So I wasn't completely surprised that they, you know, didn't bring Charlie back. He's an affordable option. He was going to cost you about, you know, $1.8 million in arbitration, which really, let's be honest, is that's nothing. So, you know, as far as a good guy to have, that's they're going to, you know, miss his leadership role. But I wasn't completely, you know, caught off guard. Again, the fact that they didn't give him the playing time, and we know Charlie's a versatile defender. You can put him anywhere in the diamond. Heck, you can have him pitch if you want to. But, you know, the fact that he wasn't playing and they felt the need to go sign somebody else, I wasn't completely caught off guard when they non-tendered him.
The Braves certainly been very active in the offseason, and one of the things that they did, they had to obviously make some moves with regards to the catcher position with Brian McCann retiring. Talk about that position, if you would.
Yeah, you know, I like the acquisition of Travis d'Arnaud. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, Alex Anthopoulos has cited his power to all fields as being really a big strength of his game. Veteran guy, good game caller. I think he's going to fit in really nicely with this group, obviously familiar with the Braves with his time in the National League East with the Mets for all those years. Had some really good numbers with the Rays last year as a 30-year-old, you know, 16 homers, 263 average. You know, look, he's not a big strikeout guy, good arm behind the plate, good pitch framer. So I've heard nothing but good things from folks who've been around him as far as, you know, the way he's going to fit in with this group. So, you know, look, Mac, it was great to have him back last season. But you could tell, I mean, at the end of the year, it was really wearing on him. You could tell he was, you know, getting tired. The legs were getting heavy. But for him, for his career to come full circle, I thought was great. You know, and I think it meant a lot to him, to his family. You know, his kids are getting older. They understood, hey, we can go to the ballpark and watch Daddy again tonight. So I think that meant a lot to him as well. I got a feeling we're going to see Brian McCann right down there in those SunTrust seats, right next to Chipper Jones, taking in a lot of ball games this summer at SunTrust Park.
And obviously, if you're a Braves fan, one of the big question marks for the entire 2019 campaign was the bullpen. So here's a lefty in Will Smith, three-year deal, $39 million. Chris Martin is back, 2 years for $14 million combined. And you mentioned at the catcher position, 2 years for $16 million. So the $69 million or so dollars well spent?
I think it has been. I really do. Let's put it this way. I tweeted this a couple of weeks ago. The Braves bullpen on opening day was Aroldis Vizcaino, Johnny Venters, Jesse Biddle, Chad Sabatka, Shane Carl, Wes Parsons, Josh Tomlin, and Luke Jackson. Now think about how far that bullpen has come in just a calendar year. When you talk about plugging in,
It changed like 6 weeks later. I mean, it was totally gone. Yeah. 6 weeks later. So
exactly. But you know, now you have Melanson as your closer. You have Will Smith as your setup guy. You've added Shane Green, an all-star closer. Chris Martin, I thought, was a really under the radar move to bring back, as was Darren O'Day. You know, this is a guy that, as the season went along last year, I didn't think we'd see him at all. And he did a really nice job in, you know, limited experience down the stretch. But, you know, that funky delivery, deception, you can never have, you know, it always helps to have a guy like that on your staff. So the bullpen's come a long way. It really has. Jacob Webb should be back healthy this year. He was a guy that really contributed at a very high level last season. So that's probably going to be an area to keep an eye on in spring training. Really, probably only one spot up for grabs. You're going to have a number of guys gunning for it. So the Braves will certainly have a lot of depth in the big leagues. But they'll also have a lot of reinforcements in the minor leagues as well, too.
So what is that magic number for Josh Donaldson in case we want to have like a telethon or something? Is it 4 years, $27 million a year, somewhere in that ballpark?
Yeah, I would say probably, yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, 4 years and 100-plus probably. Now, look, I said all last year towards the end of the season, if I'm the Braves, I would go and give him 3 and 90 right now and just lock him up and don't let him, you know, get out to free agency. But obviously with Rendon signing that deal, I think it drives his price up a little bit more. And again, I think that fourth year is going to be big for JD. Now, again, the one thing I didn't mention earlier, you know, the CBA expires at the end of 2021. There's a real possibility the DH comes to the National League starting in 2022. So, again, another reason why, if I'm the Braves, it's worth the gamble. It's worth the risk because, again, your window of opportunity is wide open right now. Again, you've got a chance to have a DH potentially in the National League. And while it might be an overpay, if you have a parade, trust me, no one's going to care.
I think you're exactly right. Hey, Kevin, as always, we appreciate you. If you're not doing so already, go ahead and follow Kevin on Twitter, at Kevin McAlpin. And it's always fun talking baseball with you. And obviously, if we get some breaking news over the next few weeks, we'll get back in touch with you as well. But if not, Merry Christmas once again to you and your family. And before we know it, we'll be talking spring training.
Right around the corner, pal. Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays, buddy. Thank you. Kevin McAlpin with the Braves Radio Network joins us. Coming up at the top of the hour, don't forget, David Basil from the red carpet with the College Football Awards. He, of course, is the founder. He's the founder of the Frank Broyles Award, which goes to the top assistant in all of college football. And he's also a talk show host out of Little Rock with 103.7 The Buzz. He'll be with us at the top of the hour. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It's quite heavy out here now, as expected, on all the major outbound routes, like 65 North, trying to get up into Madison right there, up to Vietnam Vets. Maya Drive at North Cape Business Parkway, that's a car crash that just occurred a few minutes ago. Heavy traffic now down into Brentwood, 65 going south. It's also bogged down at times, 40 East here at 840 through Wilson County. Princess Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on Time Traffic.
The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
The news that shocked the NASCAR world this week is championship-winning crew chief Cole Pearn is stepping away from the sport entirely to spend more time with his family. He said, quote, "This was an incredibly difficult decision. At the end of the day, I really want to spend time with my family and actually see my kids grow up. Being on the road, you are away from home so much and miss a lot of time with your family. I don't want to miss that time anymore. I want to be there for all the things that my kids are going to experience while they are still young. I love racing, and there isn't a better place to be than Joe Gibbs Racing. But I don't want to look back in 20 years and think about everything I missed with my wife and kids while I was gone. They are what's most important to me," end quote. Cole's stats atop the box for Martin Truex Jr. are simply incredible. They made the championship four times. They won the 2017 Cup Series championship together. And from 2016 until the end of this season, they racked up 23 wins, the best among any of the driver-crew chief combos over that period. This past season, they finished second in the 2019 NASCAR Cup Series standings, following a series-best 7 wins, 15 top fives, and 24 top tens. The next crew chief for the number 19 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota for Martin Truex Jr. will be announced at a later time.
Hey, I'm Martin Truex Jr., and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
Like us at facebook.com/thefinallap. Like us.
It's the Built for the Holiday sales event at Ford. It's a big deal, and we're busy making preparations to get you the best deals of the year. Because unlike Santa's presents, ours just don't magically appear. At Ford, ours are built in real factories, where pickup trucks come with best-in-class payload, where SUVs are built with available features like terrain management and driver-assist technologies, and where you can get 20% estimated savings on select Ford SUVs and trucks. You don't have to write Santa a letter to get these presents, naughty or nice. Just come see your Ford dealer during our holiday sales event. Best in class payload when properly configured. Classes light duty pickups under 8,500 pounds GVWR based on Ford segmentation. Eligible in select 2019 model year vehicles. Vehicle must have arrived at dealer at least 61 days prior to the sale date. Estimated savings include an average dealer discount based on a sales survey of average discounts offered by Ford dealers nationally. Discount may vary. Dealer determines price. For all offers, take new retail delivery from an authorized Ford dealer stock by 1-2-2020. See participating dealer for complete details.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-park. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast for this afternoon. Mostly sunny with a high near 54. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 36. And tomorrow, showers likely. Cloudy with a high near 50. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson, 615-844-5600. Want to tell you about our friends over at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits. Whether hosting a party or just looking for a nice bottle of wine for dinner, you can't go wrong with Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, where they have a very impressive array of wines and spirits to choose from for every specific taste, every budget, everything in mind. Here's the thing, Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, they take a lot of pride. First of all, when you show up and go inside, you'll notice the difference. You'll feel welcomed and appreciated. And they have a passion for the personal service to help you make the best selection for your specific taste and budget. The originator of local bourbon tastings, there's always opportunities to discover new spirits and wines. And this is that time of year, so if you're looking for a great gift idea, they can help you there as well. Check them out. Rediscover Brinkman's Wine and Spirits. Make sure you tell them your friends here at Nashville Sports Radio sent you. They're located at 7110 Town Center Way. It's just east of Franklin Road and the roundabout by the Brentwood Post Office. Good, better, Brinkman's. All right, so tonight is college football awards night, and some of the awards we already know the winners, and some, we're down to finalists. For example, the Maxwell Award, which goes to the College Player of the Year. And sometimes we get this where the projected winner of the Heisman, in this case, Joe Burrow of LSU, sometimes it goes to somebody other than the projected Heisman Trophy winner. With that said, your finalists, Joe Burrow from LSU, Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma, Chase Young, the outstanding defensive end from Ohio State, and once again, nice years for Hurts and Young as well. I think this will be a Joe Burrow award season, per se. And along the same lines, you know, for example, the Davey O'Brien Award, which goes to the top quarterback. We got Burrow from LSU, Justin Fields from Ohio State. I think he has a chance to be a very strong contender for this particular one. And Hurts, I could see where this one actually would go to Justin Fields from Ohio State, just because you want to spread the wealth around just a little bit. So we'll see. But once again, it may just be an all Joe Burrow night. The Doak Walker Award, which goes to the top running back. You got J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State, Chuba Hubbard from Oklahoma State, and Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin. To me, I just love what Jonathan Taylor has done, not only this year, but three straight years. He's got over 1,900 yards rushing this year. And, you know, and you look at, you know, Hubbard, although he's at Oklahoma State, he had 1,936, which edges out at this point. That's 27 more yards than Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin. I think it comes down to Hubbard or Taylor, and I'm going to lean towards Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin. So those are a few awards. You'll also have the Biletnikoff Award, named after Fred Biletnikoff, the wide receiver. Nice, you know, threesome here, and Jamar Chase from LSU, CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma, and Michael Pittman from USC. To me, this is a race between Lamb and Chase. We'll see how it plays out. But those are just a few of the awards. What are the awards? We already know the winner of the Frank Broyles Award, which goes to the top assistant coach in all the land. Joe Brady from LSU to talk more about the award, the SEC, Arkansas, and more. David Basil, talk show host out of Little Rock, the founder of the award, also a talk show host at 103.7 The Buzz. He's on the way. Stay with us, everybody.